While the world's focus has been on the coronavirus outbreak, the ongoing plight of Syria's children has been largely ignored. The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says the Syrian war has left more than 500,000 children displaced in the past 3 months alone. Many are stuck on the Greek-Turkish border as the two countries fight over responsibility for the refugees. And with no shelter and no facilities, babies and children are in fact freezing to death. Ismail Baya is a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador for Children Affected by War. He's with me in the studio this morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you.
You come to this with a very particular story of your own. You were a child soldier in Sierra Leone. Can you tell us how you came to find yourself in that situation?
In my country, in Sierra Leone, we had a civil war in the 90s. And as the nature of wars is usually to destabilize communities, I changed traditions. And so I ran for my life for about a year. And by the time I was 13, I was basically recruited into one of the groups and I started to fight as a soldier. So that became my life.
And how did you adapt to the circumstances that you found yourself in? I mean, were you brainwashed? How did they get you to do this, as it were?
Well, first of all, there's a very deliberate move to get children to leave their communities. One of the methodologies in the Sierra Leone Civil War was that they will force young people to inflict violence on their own community. So, for example, they have a child kill their grandfather in front of the community or their mother, and then that child would belong to that group. So there's that methodology. There's also coercion. You don't have any choice. If you don't join, they will kill you. Anybody who resists will be killed, so you know you have to stay. There's also drugs that are given to you that you become addicted. And the violence with the drugs and the coercion kind of make you stay. But then also...
Did all of those three things happen to you?
Yeah, absolutely. But then also because your community, your families, you've lost everything, this group sort of replace the functionality that's no longer around. And as a child, you want to be part of something, so you stay.
And how many years is it since you escaped that?
That's a long time ago. I mean, I'm almost 40 years old now. I'm 30. I'll be 40 this year. So I was in the war from 13 to about 15 and a half, so nearly 3 years, and I came out of it. I was adopted in a family in the United States. I had an education. I wrote a book. My first book was about my experience because I wanted to put a human face to the experience, because sometimes it seems so far away when you speak about issues that are affecting people, you know.
And does it always stay with you? I mean, the darkness, the horrors of it. I mean, how do you deal with that in your adult life?
Well, over the years, it's went down a little bit and you find different ways to deal with it, but you can never forget war. You just learn to deal with it. In my case, what I've learned is to refocus everything that had happened to me. I don't want anyone to go through what I went through, but because it happened to me, it gave me a different appreciation of life, a different appreciation of what I want to do with my life, how I want to be a useful human being. So that has helped me a lot. And I'm also a father, so I think that changes things a lot.
Well, it certainly occupies you with something else altogether.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
When you then see children in situations like those Syrian children at the Greek-Turkish border now, what do you bring to that? How does your experience provide a prism through which you view those kids?
Well, besides just being a soldier who fought in a war, I also had to flee my own country to avoid being recruited again. So I was a refugee in several countries running for my life. So I know what that feels like. I also understand how at the height of any war, you usually have a lot of media attention. And at some point, it shifts to something else as if it's finished. So that's exactly what's going on in Syria. Recently, we had a situation in Idlib. But that's not in the media anymore because everybody thinks Syria is now done with. We've covered it enough. But as you said earlier, you have children that are freezing to death. You have a lot of resistance at the border of Greece and Turkey in terms of taking in, particularly unaccompanied minors who are coming in, have nothing to do. So these are situations we need to remedy so that people don't freeze outside or die of hunger. While the rest of the world is focused on other things, you know.
So, I mean, I've been to cover a lot of these sorts of stories before, been to a lot of these big camps, you know, on the Syrian borders. It's often difficult to describe to people how they function. And there are always children, there are always unaccompanied minors in these places. Who looks after them?
Well, initially on the journey to these places, nobody's really looking after them. They are kind of on their own. And that's one of the worries, is that, you know, then there are people who may try to take advantage of the fact that they are unaccompanied.
I mean, a lot of kids end up being sold into slavery and
absolutely.
The sex trade. And
absolutely.
I mean, it's sort of rife for the picking.
Exactly. So this is why the intervention needs to happen early. This is why UNICEF is always on the ground, try to intercept the situation and get the children to a place where they can have the protective mechanisms and their rights can be afforded to them, so that they don't fall into the hands of the smugglers and other people. And also just even hunger, you know, and yeah, kids choosing different paths so that they can stay alive, you know. So that's why UNICEF goes in early, particularly for the children, to make sure. And what we've agreed on with every country around the world, I think everybody agrees that children should be cared for. Now, how that is implemented often becomes a problem when countries are resistant to the wave of people coming in.
Yeah, I mean, what's going to happen to these kids at the Greek-Turkey border?
Well, I think it's a right of everybody to seek asylum safety in another country. Now, I understand that over the years, Greece and Turkey has been sort of, they've taken in a lot of people. So maybe there's an exhaustion on their part in the amount of people they are taking, which is why we call on all countries. There's an appeal that UNICEF is doing to help these countries, perhaps provide certain resources that allow them to take in people temporarily as other solutions are found. I think leaving them out in the cold, it's not going to be anything good for anyone, really.
Ismail Bayat, thank you very much for coming in this morning. Enjoy your time in Australia.
Thank you very much.
Ismail is a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador for children affected by war. You can read more about his time as a child soldier in Sierra Leone. His best-selling memoir is called A Long Way Gone. It is a genuinely extraordinary story, and we appreciate him coming in this morning to share some of it with us.